giving JP and I the rundown on where he thinks the Browns are. Sure sounds like Burn It Down Tesh's is where he thinks the Browns are. We do have some sound coming from the Guardians we're going to get to. Just some different thoughts coming out of there as they kind of wrap up the end of the season as well. But it's so weird. Like, it's wild to watch, like, the definitions of where the Browns are. Because, like, if you, like, to me, trading Za'Darius Smith for a pick, okay, yeah, he's not going to be here next year. Honestly, if you have any designs on moving off of one of your offensive linemen, Jack Conklin, obviously.
Yeah.
Jed Wills. All right, well, neither of those guys should be here next year. Okay, we're cool. But, like, that to me is not, that to me is still part of a rebuild. Rebuild, retool, however you want to say it. No core pieces will be expensed, in my opinion, or should be expensed, unless somebody does something otherworldly stupid and offers you something you can't. So, like,
yeah, because they're likely gone is the point.
Yeah, but, like, I hate this idea. Like, you shouldn't sell core pieces. I don't think that's where you are. I don't think that's what the failure of the Deshaun thing sets up.
I think you're very optimistic about it all, and I appreciate that, and I like that.
How's that optimistic? I think that's just pragmatic.
I think it's optimistic to be saying that. Essentially, I think what you're saying is very similar to what we talked about in the first hour with the idea that they're just a quarterback away.
No,
that way,
no.
You're a drafted piece away.
No, I think you're a quarterback plus away. I just think the biggest thing you need is a quarterback, fair. But, like, when it comes down to it, man, one of the things that I think analytics gets wrong is that they just start to treat too many pieces like interchangeable pieces. Za'Darius from Jadavian, interchangeable pieces.
Sure.
Za'Darius from Miles, not interchangeable.
Right, there's a talent drop-off there, yeah. Obviously.
Well, but my thing is, okay, your core is getting a little bit older. And so at some point here, like this offseason, you better start drafting. You better start being able to bring in where all of a sudden, like, DeJuan Jones, you got to find more JOKs. But I think this idea that all is lost or that this roster is in disrepair, no, they had 3 years where this roster was as good as it could be, and they've wasted those 3 years. But, like, even in terms of the pantheon of rebuilds, we're still just talking about exchangeable pieces gone, and then you use the offseason and the draft to try and replenish this roster, and, well, it's a new coach or new this, that, the other, new assistant coaches. You're still trying to, you're not rearranging the deck chairs in the Titanic. It's not the Titanic.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that although we traded Amari Cooper, and that would be the first step in, I think a lot of national people believe that that's like a first step in maybe us trading more. We have no idea where they're going to go. We have no idea what direction they're going to go.
Well, no, and this no is one about can confidently where should they go.
Well, and then you're clearly in the camp of we need to draft a quarterback and then try to add whatever missing pieces we have and we'll be competitive for next year. I'm clearly in the camp of I don't think it's going to be that easy.
So I think there's a lot of, like, jingoistic things going on just in us trying to talk about this.
Yeah.
Competitive next year is you can be a 8 or 9 win team. I think that's the safest part. Where you are, and I know it looks bleak right now, 1-6. It is not that hard to be 9-8 or 8-9 in the NFL.
I agree with that. Like, the league is made for you to be 8-9 or 9-8. Like, so that's it's set up for that.
Is the panic coming then because you're not going to be Super Bowl contenders because there's nothing you could do?
I think the panic is coming from the fact that they have not drafted well enough, and the offense, in my opinion, is very, very far behind from where it needs to be. And this is more than just a quarterback problem. That's an across-the-board problem. We don't have the wide receivers, not with Amari Cooper gone. They're just not there. We don't have the offensive linemen. I don't know what we have in a run game right now.
How can you tell that you don't have the wide receivers if you haven't had a quarterback to get them the ball?
Because even if you have a quarterback
Cedric
to get them
Tillman
the ball, Jerry Judy's not a number one in my opinion.
Well, okay.
And in back of that, Jerry Judy to Elijah Moore,
but,
to Cedric Tillman, it's just not there.
You mean the Cedric Tillman who had 80 yards on Sunday?
Okay.
So you're trying to make these decisions on where you are, and we still have more than half a season to play out. And I'm not saying from a winning perspective, because winning is dumb at this point. But from the let's find out who can hang and who can't, that is, I mean, teams do this all the time.
How many years of Elijah Moore do we need?
I don't think Elijah's even part of the conversation. But, like, Jerry Jeudy, when people have thrown him the ball, Jerry's actually looked okay. It doesn't matter. He's not a number one. That's not the point. If he's a functional receiver, that you do need guys. Like,
of course you need guys.
Like the
but
Browns,
are they good enough?
Well, okay, but see, I think that's moving the goalposts. Well, Jerry Jeudy isn't a number one. Is he good enough to be on the field and help a young quarterback grow? I think the answer is yes.
I think if you ranked out the wide receiver room, it would be one of the bottom in the NFL.
Well, but that's today. That's yes. What the next 10 days have. The next, I keep saying 10 damn days. That's what Jerry Jeudy.
I don't think that's changing after 10 games either, by the way.
Well, I don't know. I think you're making assumptions based off the record and based off a lot of things here. And there's a lot of football to be played. Like, I get that we lose sight sometimes.
Talked about optimism. That's where your optimism is creeping in, I think.
I think I'm being pragmatic. I think spinning your tires and saying the whole thing's lost and blow the thing up.
I don't think it's pragmatic to think that they're going to make the wide receiver room is going to make some massive jump forward that we haven't yet seen.
I think quarterbacks, more often not in the NFL. Let me put it this way. I think great wide receivers make good quarterbacks better. I think great quarterbacks or high-level quarterbacks make average wide receiver rooms better as well. And so okay. So my point is, I've seen Muhammad Massaquah and Brian Rubisky and Cindric Steptoe. You're not there.
Great name, by the way.
Elite name, and also
Steptoe.
Go Wildcats. Yeah. But no, like you're not there. Like this isn't, the cupboard isn't bare. It's not replete. 4 years ago, they walked into these guys and they ruined it. They've ruined it from the standpoint of, you had every asset, every bit of cap space. You had a roster that, yes, it needed more talent. Every roster in the NFL needs more talent. The cupboard is not bare. And if you start to approach it like it is, you're going to start making decisions that are foolhardy, that are going to set you back farther.
I think
and
what's
that's
interesting
what you need to avoid.
Is that the defense, in my opinion, is not bare. The defense has a lot of playmakers. They have a lot of people that I think are valuable. I think Myles Garrett, I think Denzel Ward, I think JOK. I think there's even MJ Emerson, who's not having a great year this year. I think there's a lot of pieces to this defense that you can make that argument. When it comes to the offensive side of the ball, I'm just not there with you.
Yeah, because you can't, like, this is why it's an evaluation.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Period. And granted, this might play into your play Jameis as opposed to play DTR, because Jameis...
Give the wide receivers a better chance to actually showcase what they can do?
Yes. Yeah. It might give you more of a chance to find it out. But I don't think I'm being sunshiny. I'm just ready to see those next 10 games. I think you're being fatalistic of, it's not good enough. And I'll be honest with you, it was good enough. Like, there were some things, and I'm not trying to go back to the Joe Flacco thing. The same offense, by and large.
Without Amari Cooper, who was a guy that put up 250 yards in a game with Joe Flacco. Like, it was different. It was different.
You still have David Njoku.
Well, Njoku's obviously a positive part of this. There's no denying that.
So, even the offensive line, like, is it you got hurt this year, or is it the new O-line coach? And I don't know these answers. I got 10 games to figure them out. And so, I think we're looking at this as a lost season. From wins and losses, competing... Yeah, it's lost from that perspective. But now it is, let's put everything on the table. Like, and I hate put it on the table because that means trade everybody or consider. No, for me, put it on the table is, hey, Jed, you don't care to block for 3 seconds. Cool. I'm going to pay you to not play. And this is where, and I really think this is to me, like, I'm a little out on Kevin right now. Because
just a little.
Well, because I'll be honest with you, the thing that I
saw more than a little out on Kevin.
Yeah, well, I'm just frustrated at the conflation of the OC of Kevin and the head coach of Kevin. And I just think we focus on which one is convenient for argument at any different point. I think right now, I need to see a leader. The thing that I when culture fluctuates, when you're 5 years into this and culture fluctuates from 1 year to the next, that tells me the coach isn't the leader you need him to.
I don't know. Sometimes I look at it like a baseball manager, though, and it's like, well, why did he make that boneheaded decision? It's like, well, he didn't have the pieces.
We got to stop. We got to stop with this.
I do wonder. I think part of what's happened with Stefanski here, we can say part of it is culture. I do wonder at times, though, if he's responsible for the offensive side of the ball the way that we think he is, I wonder if they've had the right pieces on the offensive side of the ball for him.
JP, it's so... He is the offensive head coach coordinator.
He's responsible for everything.
And the reason they're doing things that no other offensive head coach coordinator is doing. They're sloppy. They're not focused. They're not together. It is little penalties
which gouge their eyes out. Which gets emphasized when you don't have premier talent.
Yeah, but that's not a talent issue. That is a preparation, a focus,
a buy-in.
I think
it's a combination of things. I think you're going too hard in the other direction, that this is all on Stefanski for not getting these guys prepared, and it's all culture.
He's like, the head coach.
Look at the wide receiver rooms across the NFL,
JP,
Mick.
He's the head coach.
Look at these wide receiver rooms. Ours isn't even anywhere close.
I've never heard a head coach get as many passes as Kevin Stefanski gets.
I'm not giving him a pass, but I don't think we can all put it at the feet of him.
That's what the head coach does.
No, I don't think in this instance right here, because we've seen him be good. We've wondered how many times in the previous few weeks, what happened to Stefanski's powers? Where does magic go? I know he's not dumb. You know he's not dumb.
No, it's not about dumb. It is about a little egotistical. It's maybe a bit careerist, and it's making bad decisions. And if you, listen, a lot of coaches can win when everything's going in your favor or when you are so abundantly talented that you can just step back and let the thing go. Like, this is to get to 1-6 for this specific team, to just put it on the talent is a convenient thing.
Just putting on the talent. It's a combination of things, but the talent is a big part of it.
He is the offensive head coach who has won games with Jacoby, PJ Walker, with all this, where at points we thought talent didn't matter. And the problem is not that the Browns' offense has not looked good enough. It has looked putrid. And when you removed the alleged cancer from the scenario, which is Deshaun Watson, it didn't look any better. There were still too many penalties. There were still too many formation things. They don't know how to... They're professional football players that don't know how to motion. The only way, if you look at the stats right now, with the way single high safety or the two high safety look goes, the only way right now with the prominence of two high safety in the NFL, the only way, this is backed up by actual analytics. I know because I read something about it once.
You got deep in the analytics.
I'm an analytics guy. Everyone knows that about you. Mickey Dubs is Mr. Analytics. He can barely do math, but he loves analytics. But no, like if you can't motion in the NFL, you're not going to have explosive plays. And the Browns are not detailed enough to do simple motion.
Okay, but when they had Flacco, they were detailed enough?
Yeah, but no.
That's what you're trying to tell me.
Roll it back to this. Well, they also had Bill Callahan and AVP. And it starts to look like that maybe Kevin Stefanski has been propped up. Because when you can't, if you're the offensive head coach.
I just think it's a combination of things. I just don't think it's all at the feet of Stefanski the same way. I don't think it's all at the feet of there's not enough talent. I just think it's a healthy combination of suck.
If you want to be the head coach and the play caller and the guy that gets all the credit for his system, his thing, and how this goes, right? And you can't line up, I got to put it at your feet. Whether that's as the OC.
I'm not absolving anyone of that. I'm just saying at some point you got to turn around and say, yeah, the offensive players are not good enough on this team. Like, you expect anyone to come in here and just be awesome with it next year. It's not going to work. If you have the same wide receiver room, same offensive lineman, same lack of a run game, the only blessing on this team really is the tight end spot. And we haven't seen Njoku really be anything this year. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you're going to need more than that.
Yeah, and I think that's why 10 games. But in fairness to what you're saying, you got 10 games to figure out Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman, every backup offensive lineman on this roster, and everything else. And that should include Kevin. 216-474-0092. Full phone bank. Bring it to you guys. When we say everything's on the table for the Browns, what does that mean for you guys? More from you guys next on 92.3 The Fan.